say I love you. You say I love you for myself and everything I need. Everything I need.
Hey guys, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ PBR with News Power Hour. I figured we'd start off with a little bit of serious news. I don't know if you guys have been watching TV or reading about it lately, but there is some controversial stuff going around right now in San Francisco. St. Mary's Cathedral, actually, is the subject of, you know, it's a little bit of a hot topic, I guess I should say. They recently installed a water system, actually it's a sprinkler system, at their church that is now causing a lot of controversy and a little bit of an outrage, because the whole reason that they installed this sprinkler system was to get rid of the homeless people that were in the area. As many of you know, if you're around the Bay Area or if you're from here, or if you've gone to San Francisco, you know, once or twice, it's kind of easy to see that there's a lot of homeless around. It's a little different than San Rafael, although where I used to live in Walnut Creek, which is in the East Bay, and there really weren't any homeless people around. I mean, you saw a couple here and there, but really it's nothing like San Rafael. It's nothing like San Francisco. It's a totally different type of environment. So when I moved here to San Rafael, I was not necessarily shocked because I had been here regularly. My grandparents live here. But I mean, I did notice that there was a big difference in the amount of people that were living here, that were living on the streets. And definitely in San Francisco, it's something that's a big, big, big thing. And what I just thought was a little just out of character was the fact that it was a church that did this. And now, so the first people, I believe, to report on it, or, you know, just according to me, the first people I heard it from was from, I believe, Channel 4 News, Cron 4 News, I believe, yesterday, which would be Wednesday. And now that I've been, you know, I've looked it up a little bit more, CNN just caught the story, and they posted something online. Now, maybe it's probably earlier this morning, so it must be, like, a couple hours ago or so. But their headline was actually, "Church Turns on Sprinklers to Get Rid of Homeless." I don't know about you guys, but God, that would sound so terrible to me. It does sound terrible to me. That's one thing I noticed. And what I'm most frustrated about is the fact that it was a church that did this. I mean, normally you would think of big organizations or like big companies or big businesses that would really want to keep, you know, homeless and, you know, transient type of people out of the area because they want their business to look nice and clean. But no, that wasn't the case. It was actually a church that tried to get rid of people. So basically the big thing is that they installed an illegal sprinkler system. It was set to go off every 30 minutes. And one of the big issues with that is the fact that we're in a drought. California hasn't been getting enough rain at all. I think it was back in January or so when we were getting a little bit of rain that they were saying, you know, just try to conserve. You know, the rain is going to be really good for us. We're in a drought. This is the least amount of rain that we've had in history. We've never had this amount of, or this little of rain, I should say. And now the fact that a church went through to install, one, an illegal system, and two, using water that we don't have, and three, having it go off every 30 minutes is just ridiculous. The amount of water that they're using is just preposterous. The fact that it's illegal is just outrageous in on its own, because it's a church. You wouldn't expect a church to be conducting illegal activity merely because they want to go and keep homeless out. So that's something that I think is a little bit of a no, St. Mary's probably shouldn't have done that. And now they're going to have to deal with a huge outcry of people. And they actually have, because there have been so many news stations taking bits and pieces from this and forming their stories, that they have come out and apologized. Not the news stations, of course. St. Mary's Cathedral has come out saying, oh, we're really sorry. But, I mean, the damage is kind of done. They're not going to go and be able to save face because they already went and they already did it. You can't take it back once it's done. I mean, yeah, you could apologize all you want, but it's not really going to make a difference, because people are already upset about it. And more than anything, I mean, the biggest thing is the fact that it already gets cold in San Francisco, And now they have these homeless people that were just drenched in water without, one, without reason, and two, they didn't even know. Yes, the church does have signs that say, do not trespass, but there was no other warning. And I don't even know if the signs were implemented into the places that the homeless people were found or that the sprinkler systems were implemented, because an article that I read, a homeless man had been quoted saying, yeah, there are signs that say do not trespass, but there wasn't any specification, I can't say that word right now, as to where it was posted. So I think that's one of the main issues. If they're going to have do not trespass, have it everywhere, or have at least some sort of notice. But I mean, the main thing is the fact that they did not have any authorization to go and post this. So that's one of the big things that's, you know, a big no-no. So maybe next time the church should, one, make sure they're not doing anything illegal, and two, think about the area that they're living in, because we, like I said, we're in a really big drought. So it just makes them look so bad on so many different angles. It makes them look bad, you know, as far as being empathetic to the fact that people are homeless. It makes them look bad for doing something illegal, and it makes them look inconsiderate for the fact that they're using up water when they don't even need to be doing that, and we're in a drought, and we should really try to conserve all the water that we can, especially when we're, you know, heading into summertime. So I can only imagine that water is going to get even more scarce. Another thing, you know, kind of going along those lines of, you know, big no-nos, a paramedic earlier this month was fired in, I believe it was Russia. Yes, just double checking my facts. It was in Russia. She got fired for posting selfies on her social media account. I believe it was her Instagram. It was about her job. She was posting herself on the job. But the big issue was with it was the fact that she took pictures of herself with patients that were critically injured and or dying. So that was a huge problem. I don't know why on earth somebody would think that that's okay in any way, shape, or form. But her name was Tatiana Kulikova. I probably didn't say that right, but I did try my best. She was 25 years old, and like I said, she's from Russia. And the article that I read actually had the headline, "Paramedic took selfie with dying patient, wrote another moron." So I read about it, and throughout the article I realized that she had taken a picture of somebody, and in the caption, on Instagram, you can take a picture, you can put a caption with that picture, and you can post it on your Instagram feed, and it'll go over to, you know, all your followers or whatever. And for her Instagram account, she had posted the caption, "another moron," and behind her was a patient that she could have been helping, who, according to this article, the patient had passed away. They didn't specify whether the patient was dead or if they ended up dying after, but either way, what the article did say was that this woman was more than capable of helping the patient during that time, and instead of helping the patient, she was taking pictures of herself with them in the background. It just looks so bad as a paramedic, and I mean, me as just a citizen wandering the streets, I would hope that if I go and call 911 and the ambulance comes to get me, and if I pass out or black out or if there's something wrong with me and I'm not coherent enough to know what's going on, I would hope that they're not going to go and take advantage of that. I mean, that's a little bit ridiculous that she was sitting there taking selfies. One, selfies sometimes are just in general a little ridiculous because, well, they're selfies and a lot of people end up taking them a billion times. And most of the time, it's not even that great of a picture. It's just taking pictures because they want to take pictures of themselves. And she didn't, God, I just, it just ticked me off so bad when I read about it, because it's just so irresponsible, and unfortunately it makes not only her look terrible, obviously, but it makes, you know, the department that she was working in look terrible. It makes her country look a little bad because, you know, they're like, oh, what's going on in their health system over there? And in general, it just makes the general profession look bad. I was on Facebook and I saw a post from somebody who actually works as a paramedic or as like a EMT. And they posted something in relation to this article, which I thought was hilarious because I had already read about it and I already knew about it. But they also got wind of the article and they posted about it. And their reaction was, I'm so completely appalled and outraged at the fact that this even happened. Like, you should not be doing this. This is not part of your job, which is just the main thing, main moral of the story. if you're a paramedic, you're supposed to go and help. You're not supposed to go and exploit those that, you know, are depending on you, and their lives literally sometimes depend on you. You are the one that they call when there is no one else to call. So there's really no reason that you should be that irresponsible. Like I said, she ended up getting fired, which, you know, is good. I don't think anyone would ever want her on their team anymore, especially when they know how irresponsible she is. But she did, you know, talk about it, and she even had her middle finger up at one of the patients. So obviously the patient was out of it, either, you know, unconscious or deceased, and she had her middle finger up. It's just like, how disrespectful can you get? I mean, can you imagine how that person's family would feel? I mean, you just, common courtesy. I feel like sometimes people nowadays don't think about common courtesy. I think it's really important for us to remember that. I mean, way back when, I think it was my first grade teacher or something that said, treat people the way that you want to be treated. And I think that's a very, very true statement. Even nowadays, I always treat people the way I want them to treat me. And I think it's important for other people to remember to do the same. So like I said, treat people the way you want to be treated. Do to others the way you would want done to yourself. And I just think it's the best thing that you can go and follow for yourself. I mean, for the rest of your life, if you are nice to others, you can only expect the good karma to come back to you. So hopefully this woman learned, but I mean, God only knows. Sometimes people don't like to learn from their mistakes. They have to make it a couple times. Another thing that I wanted to talk about that's a little bit of an issue was a host from Univision, which is a Spanish, a Spanish TV station. And the issue was, I guess, there's a show there called El Gordo y la Flaca, which I actually know about. Me and my mom used to watch it when I was little. And it literally translates to El Gordo, meaning the fat guy, y la Flaca means and the skinny girl. So the show is called The Fat Guy and the Skinny Girl. And like you would assume, the hosts on the show, the man is a little heavier than most, and then the woman is also very skinny. But they use it for fun. They really just play off of each other, and the hosts just poke fun at themselves, even with the title of the show. So moving along from that, the show itself covers, you know, hot topics, whether it's hot controversial topics regarding news, political news, local, you know, in their area news, or celebrity news. A lot of the times it's political and celebrity. But what happened was, is a host that was on the show as a guest with El Gordo y La Flaca was talking about a makeup artist who, again, funny thing, I've seen this makeup artist on Facebook. This makeup artist had transformed himself into other celebrities, and one of the celebrities just happened to be Michelle Obama. So just to give you guys a little bit of background on that, this makeup artist is absolutely phenomenal. I don't know how he does it, but he uses makeup to contour his face and create different like shades. And he changes the shape of his face with this makeup to make himself, you know, Michelle Obama. I think I saw one of the pictures where he had turned himself into Angelina Jolie. And I'm pretty sure this is the person too, who also made himself into Iggy Azalea at one point. There's a couple of different makeup artists that do this, but I'm pretty sure this specific one did those things. Anyway, so he had come out and he turned himself into Michelle Obama. So this host on this TV show was referencing the picture and was talking about Michelle Obama. And in it, when he saw the picture of the guy transforming himself into her, he made a reference saying that Michelle Obama looked like a character from Planet of the Apes. Pause. That's a little awkward. And a lot of people started getting really mad. A lot of criticism and outrage started coming into it. Although now the host is coming out defending himself, saying that he didn't mean that Michelle Obama herself looked like a character from the Planet of the Apes. He was talking about the picture of Michelle Obama, meaning the man who had transformed himself. So it wasn't even her. He was just talking about the picture that they were literally looking at and that version of her. I can see why it would be a little controversial though, because, you know, it is the first lady. You want to talk about her as, you know, as polite and as respectful as you possibly can. And why wouldn't you? I mean, Michelle Obama is just, she's the bomb. I love her. I always have. And I've always been pro Obama. So that's another thing that I will put out there. But anyway, the big thing was just like, you know, they were pissed off Can I even say that? Yeah, I think I can say that. They were. They were pissed off that Michelle Obama had been spoken about. So now they encountered this problem as to, you know, what was going to happen. Was this host going to be fired or was he going to go on? Unfortunately, he got fired. So that kind of caused a little bit of an issue. But I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ PBR with News Power Hour. When we come back from the break, I'm going to continue on with the story because there is a little bit of more that I want to touch base on with, you know, this host, the rest of the show of El Gordo y la Flaca, whether or not, you know, they're facing more issues, and an unexpected person that came out to defend the host. So I'll cover all of that when we come back. All right, we'll take a quick break. Stay tuned. I know why I'm alive. When you say you love me,
when you say.
Sitting next to CeeLo, Pacific Coast Highway. This happens every day. And our songs keep playing on the radio like 20 times a day. Man, this is so crazy. Keep seeing pretty ladies walking around high heels in LA. What can I say? Sexy shades, two piece, the girls are looking fine today. It's getting hot, you see.
I like them cats.
Hey guys, welcome back. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu with DJ PBR, and this is News Power Hour. So like I said, when we went on our break, or before we went to our break, I guess, we were talking about a host on Univision, which is a Spanish talk show, or a Spanish TV station. The talk show is a show called El Gordo y la Flaca. So really quick recap was what happened was the host was on the show talking about a makeup artist who transforms himself into famous celebrities using makeup and contouring. He'll literally change the shape of his face to mold and look just like a celebrity's. So this host was talking about a picture of one of the celebrities that the makeup artist had done, and it just so happened that it was Michelle Obama, and the host made a reference saying that she looked like a character from Planet of the Apes. So like I said, what ended up happening was that Univision did fire him. And it was a big, huge thing because now what's coming out is I just looked up on TMZ today, earlier this morning, another story came out saying that the host, who is named, I believe, Rodner Figueroa, he came out to TMZ telling them Michelle Obama got me fired. And that article was posted, I think like a week or so ago, something like that. But anyway, I just found it today because I was doing some more Google searches about it. And I just heard about the story, I think yesterday, which I thought was strange because it took a couple more days for this to reach mainstream news. When, I don't know if any of you guys heard of or if you remember, a couple weeks ago, or maybe it's even a month ago now, Juliana Rancic, I think that's how you say her name, Juliana Rancic, she got in trouble for saying a comment about Zendaya's dreads. I think it was on, I think it's called Fashion Newsweek, or I don't know, it's one of those fashion shows on E! Where they go and they talk about and critique different celebrities, especially when there's award shows going on. And I believe it was the Grammys that had just passed that, you know, Zendaya had gone to, and she had these dreads in her hair. And Juliana Rancic made a comment saying, you know, it looks like her hair would smell like some type of oil. And she also made a reference saying that it would smell like marijuana. So they said it was a super racist comment, and she was under fire immediately, and this news exploded all over just within seconds. Literally before, I think, the show even ended, there were tweets all over the place talking about this comment that she had made. So what I was surprised about was that the same thing didn't happen when Rodner Figueroa made the comment. It took a little more than a week for it to really come out and make a lot of news. And now what TMZ had reported was that, according to somebody, they had gone and the talk show host was saying that Michelle Obama's team had called the station and had complained about it, saying, you know, they weren't exactly pleased with it. I believe it was an executive of Michelle Obama's team, or not her team, I guess I should say an executive from Michelle Obama's office, had called the network to complain about it. So in return, when Figueroa heard about that, he decided he was going to write a letter to the first lady. So that's exactly what he did. And TMZ obtained the letter, and they quoted saying that Figueroa talks about, or in the letter, he talks about how he is also from a biracial family and how he's half black, half Latin. And he even goes in to talk about how he's the first openly gay Hispanic TV presenter. And I can vouch for that. I used to watch a lot of Spanish TV when I was little, growing up with my abuelita. She loved Univision. That's definitely a show, a TV station that I'm familiar with. And a lot of the shows, especially the talk shows that are on there, I've watched them at least, you know, a dozen times. And that's lowballing it because I've watched a lot of them for a very long time. And he is the first openly gay Hispanic TV presenter. I haven't seen or heard of anybody else in any other station, whether it was Univision or Telemundo or Azteca. There's a lot of other TV show stations, and I haven't heard any of that for anybody, nobody. And oftentimes, I'm not going to lie, especially in Latino culture, it's kind of hard. It's not like they're discriminated against, but there is a overtone of machismo, and especially those devout, hardcore Catholic or Christians. We have a lot of dedicated, hardcore Catholic Christian Latinos in the Latin community, because it's a very close-knit group, and religion just happens to be something that's really important to many. I'm not going to say all, because it's not all Latinos, but it is important to many. So I think that might be a reason that maybe that's why a lot of people haven't come out, especially if they're in the public eye talking about it. But aside from that, I mean, it was big news when, I don't know if you guys remember, but Ricky Martin came out saying that he was gay. Yeah, that was a little unexpected. And he, you know, I mean, it is what it is. And he also helped pave the way, I think, because he really was, I think Ricky Martin was the first Latin, or not the first, but he was one of the major people to come out saying, you know, I'm gay, and that's that. So I would not doubt that this TV presenter really is the first openly gay one. But TMZ quoted him saying, "I've been an activist for causes in favor of minorities as I have been discriminated against." So, I mean, I think maybe he was trying to make a connection with her. Figueroa even went on to write saying, "I voted openly twice for your husband, Barack Obama." And I mean, when I read that, I was like, oh, okay, I know what you're trying to do there. You're trying to establish, you know, rapport. You want to find something to connect with. So here you are apologizing to Michelle Obama for saying that she looks like a monkey, when in reality, you weren't saying she specifically looks like a monkey. You were saying that the picture of the man who put makeup on himself to transform himself into you. But I mean, side note from that, I mean, I know that he didn't mean it maliciously. It's just unfortunate that he said something, it was something that was a little too close to the edge, and it actually caused him to go over that edge because a lot of people were pissed off about it. And I think a reason, too, that it was so quickly, one, it happened really fast, they fired him very fast, and then it just went along, they just went on along with their lives very quickly. And I think that's because of what happened with the Julianne Rancich case. Because when she made that comment about Zendaya, Zendaya went on Instagram, I believe it was, and she posted a comment saying, you know, I don't think it's really polite when people say that, yada, yada, yada. I really don't think that it was an appropriate comment. And she expressed herself, her personal opinion as to the statement that Juliana had made. And I mean, I even read it and I give the girl credit. I think she very eloquently said, look, you were very disrespectful and I don't appreciate it. And in which return, Juliana responded saying she was really sorry and that she didn't mean to cross the line. She didn't mean it in a negative way. Her words weren't with malice. And I think that's one of the important things. But, I mean, it's important to remember, but I mean, it's also very important to distinguish that you really need to have a balance and you really need to know what lines not to cross. And it's hard, I can only imagine, as a TV host, when you're literally on the spot and you have to think of things to say, you're bound to say something that you shouldn't have said. I mean, there's no way that you're going to be able to avoid it. I mean, here I am on the radio trying to figure out what I want to say, what I'm going to say every time that I come on here. And sometimes, you know, you fall on your face and you think, God, what am I doing? I don't know what I'm saying. But I'm at least on a radio station, so you can't see me. These people are on TV. They're literally being filmed. You can see them. I mean, yeah, you might be able to hear me mess up, but I'm not going to lie. It feels a little better if I'm behind a microphone rather than literally being on camera and you can see my face like, oh, crap, I made a mistake. But these people, I mean, you got to give them credit. It's really hard for them to do what they do. And I do believe that he is sorry. I do believe that he, you know, Rodner Figueroa, I don't think that he said anything with malice or with any malintention. But I do believe that the station, you know, they handled themselves the best they could. That's what I believe. I think that the station handled the situation as perfectly as they could have and as quickly as they could have, you know, to minimize the most damage. But one thing that I do want to touch on is who unexpectedly came out and defended Rodner Figueroa. And I was surprised that I even heard about somebody defending him because, like I said, when Juliana came out with her own controversy of the comment that she had said that was found to be extremely racist, there weren't a lot of people defending her. In fact, Kelly Osbourne, which was one of her co-hosts, came out saying that if Juliana wasn't fired, she was going to quit. So that was like one of the biggest, oh my God, moments, because here she was, her co-host, which, you know, you would assume is also her friend. And you would even think that maybe as a co-host, you would have a mutual understanding like, oh, girl, I get it. I understand. You crossed a line. You didn't mean to cross the line. You know, things happen. It is what it is. Move along. No, that's not the case. Kelly Osbourne went on to publicly talk about how she was not in favor of A, what Juliana said, B, supporting Gianna, and C, with the network's handling of the situation. So that kind of brought more heat onto it. And so what I found most controversial was the fact that actually Raven Simone is the star who came out to defend Rodner Figueroa. So random, right? Like when I read that, I was like, wait, what? Did I read that correctly? Who? Because it wasn't even a Latin actor or actress or TV host or anything like that. I was just surprised that it was someone that I mean, whenever I think of Raven Simone, I think of That's So Raven from the Disney Channel. I'm a 90s child. And I also think of when she was in the Cosbys. So it's just totally, I mean, within the last few years, Raven has definitely come up and, you know, started doing some different things, saying some different things, and, you know, really finding her voice and expressing what she agrees and doesn't agree with. So I think it's totally cool that she came out and started to defend somebody that she believed in, and she might have not even had any connection with him, but she believed in Rodner Figueroa. So I guess what she came out saying was, let me see, I have it in my notes here. Oh, here we go. What she said was that she didn't find his comments racist. And the reason I thought that that comment was super intriguing was because, I mean, Raven Simone herself is African-American. She considers herself an American African-American, but she is African-American. So for me, I would think, you know, if this comment really was racist, how would African Americans think about it? What would they feel about it? How would it make them feel personally to know that someone referred to somebody else of their color and race as looking as like kind of like an ape? So what I thought was interesting was that she came out as an African American woman supporting Rodner Figueroa, who had made a comment against Michelle Obama, although, like I said, it wasn't really against her. It was against the makeup. But anyway, aside from that, she said, I mean, Raven was just like, you know what? I didn't think it was racist, but she did find it rude. So there's a difference. There is a fine line between rude and racist. Some people try to, you know, be funny with racism or be funny by being rude. As some people are able to catch on to that type of humor. Some people are not. It really just depends. I mean, everyone's different. It is what it is. And I always say that. That's literally a phrase that I live by. It is what it is. Because if something is, it just is. You can't always change it. And you just gotta go with the flow. So anyway, I guess Raven Simone had actually been on The View. And that's where she expressed her opinion towards this. And she was actually kind of frowned upon in a way. I mean, no one shamed her, but they did question her and they did say, you know, well, what? Like, where on earth is this opinion coming from? And from The Blaze reported that Raven had said, was he saying it racist-like? Because he said that he voted for her later, and I don't think he was saying it racist. So what she was talking about was the way and the manner that Rodner Figueroa was talking about Michelle Obama. She didn't believe his tone to be with malice. She didn't think that he sounded racist. Did she think it was rude? Yeah. But did she think it was racist? No, not necessarily. I mean, you don't gotta be racist to be rude. You can't just be rude. But anyway, let's see what else. However, I mean, Raven Simone stuck to it regardless. There was another person on the set. Her name was Rosie Perez, who said that the assertion that the comment wasn't racist was just like saying, I'm not racist, but I have black friends. So that's what Rosie Perez was saying to Raven Simone in response to Raven Simone saying, you know, I didn't think that comment was too bad. But Raven didn't care. She, you know, she stuck by what she said. And she was like, Michelle, don't fire me. Again, in reference to the rumors that have been circulating that Michelle's executive called Univision to report saying, you know, we're not pleased with that comment. So Raven went on to say, and I quote, Michelle, don't fire me now, but people look like animals. Is that rude? I look like a bird. So can I be mad if somebody calls me Toucan Sam? And I literally died with that statement because when I was growing up, I totally remember when I would watch That's So Raven. I mean, I think in one episode, they even turned Raven into a bird. I swear to God. I swear. I mean, maybe I dreamt of this episode, but I'm positive, I'm almost 100% positive that there's an episode where Raven dresses herself up as a bird. And it was something that was even made fun of a lot. People constantly made a reference of Raven kind of looking like a bird. So the fact that she won, she not only called herself out, but she also owned it. She owned it. She was like, can I be mad if someone calls me Toucan Sam? Almost as if to be like, go ahead, call me whatever you want. Call me Toucan Sam. I mean, I could care less. I don't care what you say. And I just thought it was just a really good way of like deflecting negative energy or negative comments that are said about yourself. Because, I mean, if someone's going to say something, go ahead, say it. Does that mean I am that person? Or does that mean I am whatever it is that you're saying I am? No. Because I'm not going to be that unless I allow you to make me that way. So that was one thing that I thought was super cool. And I liked Raven Simone before, but I liked her even a little more after her comment. Like, just with that one little comment, I think it says a lot about her and her character. And the fact that she's also able to just like poke fun at herself and like look at and be like, hey, we're not all perfect, which is the most important thing to remember. People make mistakes. I wish I could ask you guys what you think, because I've asked a couple of my friends, and I mean, I have one friend who, she also speaks Spanish, she also has watched Univision, and she knows El Gordo y la Flaca is a show, you know, where they lightheartedly talk and poke fun at people, at things, at situations. That's just how that show runs. It's not a negative show, and it's not a show strictly to critique people or to critique situations. It's literally to make lighthearted fun. And it's a feel-good show. It's not a show that you watch to, you know, get down in the dumps or be, you know, upset or angry or, you know. It's literally a feel-good show. So I totally can believe that host didn't have any malice. You know, he was just trying to be lighthearted. He was just trying to be funny, and he crossed a line. So hopefully next time, you know, they'll have a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? Censorship, I guess, or at least, you know, review the material. If you're not sure, or like if you don't know how something's going to go, you should at least review your material. You know, write down what you want to be saying, have a script producer look at it or something. That way you can avoid situations like this. But anyway, that was really what I wanted to talk about with that. I mean, I took us from, you know, crazy paramedic news to, you know, a little bit more serious topic right now. So we're going to go ahead and take another quick break, and we will be right back with the rest of my show. I think next up I'm going to talk about, I keep wanting with these controversial issues. I don't know. I'm feeling, I feel a little like debate today, but I'm not really debating with anybody other than myself. So I guess if you want to hang along for that ride. but one of the other things I was going to talk about, which I think I'll talk about next, is the racist text messages that have been going on between San Francisco police officers. Yeah, I know it's a little unexpected, but you did hear me right. There are racist text messages going on between cops, and it is in our backyard, San Francisco. So we'll take a quick break and stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is News Power Hour with DJ PBR. Hang tight.
She's having your baby. She's having your child. Would you say it's mine? Would you say that it's mine? she's walking. Stuck here in this town with nowhere to go, so you escape through the radio. And you worked all week to barely make ends meet. Well, I got a little cash, burning holes in my pocket, foot on the gas, taking off like a rocket.
Listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ PBR with News Power Hour. So we just took a quick break and we were talking about the racist / rude comment, depending on how you want to look at it, that a Spanish TV host had made, and how Raven Simone had come out defending him. And I had said that I wanted to go in and touch base on another topic to kind of go with the theme of racism. I was thinking that we would talk about the next thing, which is San Francisco police officers and their racist text messages. I know, it's probably something that you never thought that you would hear about, you know, especially in the same sentence. I can tell you, I for sure never thought I would hear that statement in the same sentence. But these headlines that have been coming out are absolutely ridiculous. I literally Googled SF racist text messages, because when I was listening to the news on TV a couple days ago, I think it was like 2 days ago or so, the news, I'm not even going to lie, I had the news on while I was, you know, doing dishes or something, and I heard SF cops and being investigated for racist remarks, and I ran back to my TV to listen, and I was like, wait, what? And apparently these police officers were exchanging in racist text messages back and forth, and word got out, and now everyone is up in arms about it. So like I said, I literally Googled SF racist text messages, and the first headline that came up is San Francisco police officers homophobic and racist text dot dot dot. That's a nice headline. Four San Francisco cops investigated for sending racist text messages. That's a lovely headline. San Francisco PD disgraced by officers in racist text messages. You get the idea. These headlines that are coming out are absolutely atrocious. And I think one of the biggest things is, well, I mean, and you guys all know, I'm sure you guys have heard, and if you haven't, I hope you sincerely go and just reevaluate what you're looking at whenever you're online or whenever you're watching TV, that you've heard about Ferguson and you've heard about Black Lives Matter and that huge movement. If you have not, please, please consider this your public service announcement to go ahead and Google those topics, because for the last couple months, it's been really strained. And I mean, I shouldn't even say months. It got really strained the last few months, especially with some of the deaths that happened last year. But a national outcry really started when Trayvon Martin died a few years ago. That was when a big, huge race topic was brought to surface throughout our nation, and it's kind of just continued since then. So one of the biggest things with this headline is the fact that one headline that I found that I'm going to use in reference to is because I think it's one of the most powerful ones, was a headline that was posted by thinkprogress.org. I read it, and all the information that was in it is everything that was in, you know, CBS or what was another one? San Francisco Chronicle, I think, was one of the other things. And then ABC 7 News. I mean, you get the idea. I did read, and all the information that was found in this was similar, if not practically the same, just in a different order as the other articles. But thinkprogress.org posted something that the headline read, San Francisco cops said it was legal to murder a black man because he was an animal, quote unquote. Yeah, that's a pretty bad headline, if you ask me. The San Francisco Police Department is now going to be investigating dozens of racist and homophobic texts that were exchanged between the former SFPD sergeant, who was convicted of corruption charges, and four other police officers. The San Francisco Chronicle is the one that first reported on that information. The texts were made public last Friday, which included jokes about Kwanzaa, calling African Americans monkeys, calling for the lynching of all African Americans, and even one that said, "It's not against the law to put an animal down." Yeah, I'm just completely, there's just so much wrong with this. You know, these first few sentences, there's just so much wrong with it. But anyway, moving along, the four officers have been on the force for at least a decade, with two of them are now having to face disciplinary action. Two of them have had to face disciplinary action in the past. They're all of them that have been involved with this current situation, they're all facing disciplinary action. But in addition, at least two of the people involved have had to face disciplinary action before. This whole thing comes at a time when, like I said, it's just police practices around our entire country are being questioned. They're under scrutiny. They want to be, you know, the public is looking for answers, and they want to know why police can't seem to conduct themselves in a more respectable manner. And unfortunately, it's not all cops. It's only, you know, the bad cops. I can vouch for one cop that I know. His name is Matthew Morrissey, and he is a cop for, I believe, the Concord PD. He's a sergeant. And he is the nicest, by far, I swear to God, the nicest cop I've ever met. And it's not an accident. I mean, he genuinely loves his job. He loves trying to help people. I mean, I was talking to him one time, and he told me that when he goes and patrols, he makes sure that the area that he patrols in knows. They know his name. They have his phone number. They can call him whenever they want. And, you know, some of them call because they need to help, and some of them call just to, you know, see how he's doing. But he really has focused his personal career on having a relationship with his people and himself, his relationship as a police officer with the community. That's his most important, you know, he holds that really close to his heart. So it's not all cops that are like this. It's just, you know, unfortunately, the bad ones are the ones that we hear about more than the good ones. Like I said, this cop is, he's the best cop I know. But I mean, you don't hear about that. I mean, but there are good cops out there. But anyway, the text message came to light after the Attorney General's office filed a motion to release the text to keep former SF Sergeant Ian Fumier in custody, because I guess there was an issue as to whether or not he might get out of custody or whatever. So they wanted to make them public so that they could keep him, because they wanted to show his character, and they didn't want him to get any bail. So the whole reason that these text messages even came out was because, thank God, the Attorney General's office was like, no, we're not letting this guy out. He doesn't deserve to go out. He doesn't deserve to be walking around with the public, because as an officer of the public, he has to be completely unbiased and open to whoever it is that's in his area. I mean, he can't go and pick and choose who he wants to go and arrest or who he wants to go and help. I mean, if he really is as racist as all these text messages seem, you can only imagine who he might want to help and who he might want to, you know, harass and give issue to. So there's a big problem with that. I can't even read all of these text messages, to be honest. If you guys are interested in knowing what they specifically said, I highly recommend just go on Google, www.google.com, and just enter SF racist text messages or SF racist cops, and this is going to come up and you'll be able to find the link. I mean, every single link practically has these text messages connected to it now. But real quick, I'll read you some of them that I could. One of them was saying, I can't even find, I wrote it down somewhere here, but I can't even find the quote that I did see. But one of the quotes was actually talking about a reference. It made a reference to here. Like the cop was saying, oh, that's why I live here. And here was Walnut Creek. So I guess that specific cop is from the Walnut Creek area. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, I am from Walnut Creek. And I personally found that statement to be super just, oh, God. Like, just so disrespectful to not only Walnut Creek, but to the people that live in Walnut Creek, because I know where I used to live, there was no problem with racism. I didn't have an issue. I mean, I might have had an issue when I was little at like a grocery store randomly, but literally I didn't have any encounters with racism, and I am half Peruvian and half European. I look more Peruvian, though. I definitely don't look Caucasian at all whatsoever. So most people assume that I am full Latina, but I'm not. But I never encountered any racism. So the fact that here was this guy who was like, I mean, I can only imagine what people would think, like, oh, here, oh, Walnut Creek, it must be, you know, so many Caucasian people, or it must be a certain type of way. It's not. And the fact that here was this cop portraying my hometown in such a negative light was really, really, really irritating. And I found it very personally offensive. So if somehow, some way the cop was to hear this, I would like to let you know, think about your surroundings. Think about the people that you're talking about that are around you, because I guarantee there's a lot of people on Walnut Creek that if they were to see that the reference that was made, like, oh, that's why I live here instead of San Francisco, like, there's no one place that's better than the other. San Francisco and Walnut Creek are two totally different cities, because San Francisco is a big city and Walnut Creek is a small suburb. Oh, I guess I shouldn't say small because it did get larger. But it's a suburb. It's totally different. You can't compare the two. So if you want to live in a nice, quiet, you know, not as congested area with not as many big buildings, I would suggest you go live in Walnut Creek. If you want to live in a more congested, busier, more lively area 24/7, I would suggest to go live in San Francisco. But it has nothing to do with race. So if you want a diverse area to live in, I would suggest that you live in either Walnut Creek or San Francisco, because both are equally ethnically diverse. So I think that's about as eloquent as I can put it. And anyway, enough with all that negative news. I do have some fun, kind of quirky, crazy news to tie up our show with, because we are getting to the end of our hour. I was on BuzzFeed like a week or so ago, and I don't know if you guys know what that is. I'm sure many of you have seen some BuzzFeed articles pop up on your Facebook, but it's a blog site. So basically, they just post anything. They post anything from, you know, cute pictures of dogs that have gotten in trouble and have, like, guilty faces on because many of you know, sometimes dogs look really guilty when they do something bad. So they'll post like funny pictures like that, or they'll post, you know, inspirational or funny quotes that, you know, celebrities have said, or I mean, they'll just post anything. They're really just a really diverse blog. And one article that caught my eye was posted by BuzzFeed, and the headline read, "A woman is writing feminist messages on period pads and posting them around her city." Yeah, I know. I thought that sounded kind of weird, too. But it's true. A woman really is doing this. Her name is Aloni. I think that's how you say it. She's German, and this actually happened in Germany. And she decided that she was going to, you know, start this project and write feminist quotes on these pads and post them around her town. And literally, she took a picture, posted it on her Tumblr, and within 2 days, her picture had been shared over 100,000 times. And the picture that she posted on Tumblr had a quote that read, "Imagine if men were as disgusted with rape as they were with periods." Yeah, I know, it's a little intense. In case you guys haven't noticed, I kind of like to push the envelope on certain topics just because there's some things that aren't talked about and I feel like they do deserve to be spoken about. This would be one of them. I do consider myself kind of feminist. I'm not like anti-men, but I am feminist. I do believe women have a right to, you know, speak and be heard and have an opinion. But anywho, the whole reason that she even had this idea was because she was inspired by a Twitter poster. And I actually looked up the Twitter, and I don't know her name. Otherwise, I would totally use her name. But her name isn't posted anywhere on her Twitter. Her account is at, like, you know, the at sign, CuteQueer96. So this user, CuteQueer96, posted that same quote on her Twitter last year in 2014 in September. And then this girl, Aloni, saw it and, you know, was inspired by it. And she was like, I'm going to totally run with this. So her message is basically to focus on women's rights. So her quotes that are all posted throughout the city are, you know, focusing on street harassment and catcalling. And they're also focusing on taking a stand against victim blaming, because, you know, sometimes women are often victim blamed, where, you know, you did something to make this happen, or how could you have prevented it? Well, you know what? Sometimes things just happen. There is no you. There is no way to prevent it, and you can't blame yourself for it. So her big message is to, like, get rid of that. Another one of the messages that I was scrolling through the pictures that she had, and one of the quotes said, "Rapists rape people, not outfits." Because, again, sometimes when someone is raped, you know, the topic is, well, what was she wearing? How was she acting? What did she look like? It doesn't matter what you look like. What you look like doesn't have anything to do with it. So I really like that the way that this girl is, like, handling the situation of, you know, calling attention to women's issues. Another quote that I really enjoyed was, "You would look so pretty if you ... And then at the end of the quote, she just puts "no" in big bold letters, like, no, don't tell me I would look pretty. Like, what if? I mean, it's not anyone's right to tell a woman how she should improve her appearance. I mean, if I think I look good, I look good. You don't need to tell me how to improve myself, because how do you know whether or not I'm happy with what I look like? I mean, it's also like when people walk by you and they tell you, oh, like, you should put a smile on your face. Like, no. I remember in a class a couple semesters ago, a girl made a reference to that and how a man had told her, you know, put a smile on your face. And she was like, no, you have no right to tell me to put a smile on my face because you don't know what day I've had. And that's true. I mean, a lot of women don't walk past men and tell men, oh, smile, honey. But a lot of men can walk past women and tell them to do the same. So I think it's really, like, you know, I said in the beginning of my show, treat others the way that you want to be treated. That's the most important thing I can suggest for you guys. So anyway, this girl has gone over and started, you know, posting all these pictures, and she has been getting messages from people in Brazil and Sweden, and I mean, even college students here in the U.S. are messaging her, and she's just like, cool, run with it. You know, if you want to post a picture, post it, tag it. You know, the message is to spread the idea of feminist equality, not, you know, not hate. It's a feminist doesn't mean that you're hating on men. It just means that you want to be seen as an equal. So I totally think that this is a really, really cool way to end the show. We talked about some serious topics most of the time. I did try to find a way to make it lighthearted. And I did want to end the show with something funny, different, and interesting And I think I was able to do that. If you guys are interested in checking the and checking out this girl's, you know, site or see what it is that I'm talking about personally, you can find her on Instagram at Elona_X. So that's ELONA_X. Or you can find her on Tumblr at Fotzen New Burl. I did say that right, although it's German, so it's going to be a little hard for you guys to probably sound it out. It's FOTZENUEBERALL.tumblr.com. I'm sure if you Google it, you guys can find it too. Like I said, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated. Do to others the way you want done to yourself. Thank you for listening. This has been a great hour with me, myself, and I, DJ PBR. This, again, was News Power Hour. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Stay tuned for the rest of the shows. I don't think there's anyone coming up right after me, but there are some people on later in the day. So catch them when you can. And I will be here next week, again, at 11 a.m. to noon with News Power Hour. This is DJ PBR. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.